outside the organization instead of having somebody who has been here?
Well, the person that had been here had only been here for 3 days. And, you know, we went out there to, I don't really get to see the guys at this time of year, but we tried to figure out the best guy that we thought could help us on special teams and hopefully get him ready to play linebacker. He's still two injuries away from getting that person in, the fourth guy. But we needed someone who we thought could learn to do that once the time came and could be our best player on special teams.
Buddy, you know, you're looking at in the sixth, seventh round, as a possibility.
Yeah, it was someone we were interested in through the draft, so we had our eye on him, and then our personnel department keeps an eye on him throughout preseason, guys that we targeted in the draft. So usually those are guys when we go do it that we put a lot of time into with their college play.
Your staff together and your defense, why did you want someone from the Seattle style? And what about that did you find attractive?
I think it's a very sound scheme. You know, it's a sound scheme that starts with stopping the run. Anytime your base defense is an eight-man front, it's very gap-oriented. It's tough to run the ball against. You're always outnumbered on offense and unless you use the quarterback. So your numbers are never there. And usually that gives you the best chance to stop the run, so it forces you to throw. And when you have a sound scheme versus the run, but it's very good in coverage that eliminates big plays with their zone drops, they make you work all the way down the field. So it's extremely tough to get explosives on. It's tough to go against. They make you work for everything. And it's something that you don't have to reinvent the wheel every week. So it's something that if you just do over and over and over again, it's hard not to get better at it.
Did you reach that conclusion working with Dan in Atlanta, or had you thought about that?
I thought about it going against it over the years. You know, when you sit as offensive coach and you try to scheme it up and see where their holes are, and the sounder it is, the harder that is to do. And you always want the cheap, easy ones. Makes it a lot easier. I think teams that have had bend but don't break type of defenses, I use that word. You go back to the Tampa days, and that's where I started out my coaching career with Monty Kiffin's staff. And I got a real good deal for that defense. And the whole time I was there, they were number one in the NFL in defense. And I think that's really where it started. And then going against this defense as an offensive coordinator, just trying to attack it, I think it's extremely similar to those Tampa 2, Monty Kiffin days. And it's Tampa 2 isn't their basis, it's cover 3, which is an eight-man front, so it's tougher to run the ball against. But coverage-wise, it plays out very similar to Tampa 2, which it's hard to get explosives and things like that. So it's very similar to what my basis of defense growing up in this league. And then getting a chance to go to Atlanta and be around it even more just made that stronger.
This might be a better question for Robert, but, you know, how much Seattle film are you showing these guys on how to do this and how to incorporate this defense?
I think that's something that you do a ton when we first get here. I mean, anybody who's, and I do it the same offensively. I mean, you show how it's supposed to look, how you've done things in the years past. That's an advantage of, you know, me being a coordinator for other years. I have tons of tape of not just Atlanta, but Cleveland, Washington, Houston. There's really not an example that I don't have a clip on, that if a player's struggling with it, I can show them something from the past 9 years to say, no, I've been in that position before, or someone I coached have, this is how we handle it. I think it's the same from a defensive standpoint. I know Robert is his first year being a coordinator, but being in the Jacksonville scheme, being at Seattle before that, he's got a lot of tape to show that too. But once you get your own guys doing the tape and stuff like that, then you start to build your own libraries, and players definitely like watching themselves a lot more than other people, so you try to build that and get that in, but you never stop collecting, and if there's a clip that can help a guy, it's good to have schemes that are very similar, so there's more examples and reps that you can show people.
Pete Carroll today said, maybe half-jokingly, he wasn't thrilled about John Lynch being the GM here because he'd been in all these production meetings and bared his soul to him about this is how we do things in Seattle and all that. I don't know. Can that be what John has picked up, not just from Seattle, but, you know, his experience talking to coaches and players through the year? Just have you found that to be at all beneficial? Could it be beneficial, like, in a game, or is it just about building, like, philosophies?
No, I think I think being around football, John was around football a ton when he played. And then when he stopped, he got to be around it a lot, being an announcer. So I think it's good for John to be around it, so he's testing himself every week, having to watch tape and do those things, so you're training your eyes on what to look for. You know, if he stopped playing and then just took 7 years off or whatever it is and jumped into this role, I think it'd be a lot harder for him. But no, I don't think there's any huge advantage, any top secrets of what people are doing.
Seahawks conversation with him. Hey, what did Pete tell you in 2012?
He told me they like cover three. I wrote it down. I took a note.
Advantage of Niners right there.
Does a talented defensive front limit what you can do or affect what you can do at all in play action?
It affects what you can do in everything. I think sometimes that's one of the reasons for play action. Because if they know you're throwing, I don't care who you have, when you go against that type of defensive front, they're going to get you, especially with that noise in their place, and that's their biggest strength. So they want to try to make you one-dimensional, which an eight-man front and being outnumbered in the run game usually does. So they're daring you to pass every play, but then guys drop into zones, and you got to check it down, and balls get tipped, and it's hard to check it down 10 plays in a row. And quarterback's got to be perfect, the lines, everyone's got to be perfect, so you got to get into the runs too. So you have to try to keep them off balance, but there's a reason they've been one of the top defenses in the league for the last 7 years or whatever it is, and it starts with their front, and it goes to how good their linebackers are, how good their secondary is, and how well coached they are, and how good their scheme is.
So what kind of advice do you give to Brian then, other than that he has to play perfect?
It's not that you have to play perfect. When you do get the opportunity, you got to make it. You got to realize that there's going to be times, I don't care who your team is, that you're not going to block them. And when you don't, what happens? You can survive a sack. You prefer an incompletion. But it's hard to survive a bunch of turnovers going against this team, especially down there. So when it's not good, how bad is it? And when you do get your opportunities, they can be blocked. I've seen them blocked a lot. And when you do get that and you have the right deal and you got a chance, do we make that play? Because you're not going to get it too many times in the game. That's very similar to last week going against Carolina. You know, that was a tough front too. And there's not many times I'm going to stand up here and tell you we're not going against a tough defensive line. Most of them are, but especially these 2 weeks that we've had. And you have to make your opportunities when they're there.
Have you made any changes on the offensive line, or is that something you're still evaluating?
That's something we'll evaluate all 3 days. You know, same as I told you guys, I forget what day, Monday or Sunday, but we're working Lincoln in more. This is his second week here, so he's getting a little bit more reps, and we'll see how he handles it and how it plays out.
Having watched that Carolina tape and the offensive line play, how much of that do you feel comfortable you can fix in-house going up against another good defensive line? How much of that is just playing a good defensive line? And again, sometimes guys are unblockable.
Yeah, it's both. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, that's the NFL, and that's almost every week, and it doesn't matter. I mean, it's the same issues at Atlanta last year when we played Carolina twice and Seattle twice. You guys can go watch those games. It's quarterbacks getting hit a lot. It's guys aren't just blocking people all the time. But it's when you do have your opportunities, you offset that. When they do miss, you can't turn it over and change the game. If you do turn it over, you hope the defense rises up and stops them, even if you put them in a bad position. There's going to be a lot of highs and lows throughout a game usually. It's very rare that everything just goes right. And the better the team you go against, the better you got to be on offense, but and defense. But no one's ever had a perfect game, so bad things are going to happen. How bad are they? And when they do, can someone else make a play and make some good things happen for us to counteract it?
Speaking of those highs and lows, have you been able to identify anything on the film of that first game that can bring more highs than lows for the offensive line?
Yeah, lots. I mean, we gave a few opportunities to go down the field. I thought we went down the field versus the right looks, just didn't come down with the plays. I thought we had a bunch of good run looks early in the game where we got about, I think there's a few plays where we got about 9 yards before the first person touched the guy. So, I knew that game was going to be rough. I played against Carolina a lot, so you go in expecting that. You know it's going to not all be pretty, it's going to be ugly, and never played Carolina when it hasn't been that way. But you got to come up with those plays, and that's what gives you a chance to win. And if you don't, it's real tough to.
Speaking of those good plays, it seemed like those runs in particular were more brutal, and the outside zone runs were less successful. What were the breakdowns on those outside zone runs, and have you considered de-emphasizing that play at all?
No, not at all. Every inside zone run was versus a two-shell defense when they're one man short. So we happen to get in the right play versus a two-safety defense when they're outnumbered. The eight-man fronts, if you get into those tight ones and you're outnumbered times two. If you do an outside zone, at least they have to honor the keeper, so you have the number. So it depends on what type of front you're going against.
Why were those outside zone plays less successful in this game?
Just the same reason anyone is. You don't make the blocks. You don't get the hole. We did have an outside zone one that that we had everyone blocked and we just tripped going through the line. And if we would have hit that one, it would have been a 30-yarder, and then it would have really messed up your outside zone stats because the one we got would have been a gash. We just tripped. All the others weren't good ones. So then it looks like you're averaging 0.5 on the outside zones, and it's just one play that changes it all for stats.
Is there any change in Jimmy Ward's status this week?
No, it's the same. I mean, he's still limited. We definitely are going to – he's going to get more today than he did last week. We're going to continue trying to up his reps. We'll see how that goes today. I expect him to be better this week than he was last week, but he's definitely still limited and hope to have him on Sunday.